Before we dive into today's trip down memory lane, a quick shout out to the fine folks at Remind Magazine, who help keep the nostalgia train rolling. This season, the Pop Culture Preservation Society is proudly sponsored by Remind, the publication that understands your collection of Tiger Beat magazines, TV guide issues, and random lunchboxes is not clutter, it's history. We love when Remind lands in our mailboxes, and we can enjoy that analog experience of flipping through its pages and reading all about the classic TV shows and movies and music and all of those pop culture treasures that made us who we are. And as an exclusive offer to PCPS listeners, you can get a full year of Remind magazine for just $12. That's 86% off the cover price. Just go to remindmagazine.com/pop. That's remindmagazine.com/POP. And you can take advantage of this incredible offer. Trust us, you will be so glad you did.
The time is right for Pepsi Light. Lemony, Pepsi Light. We put a little lemony taste in and took out half the calories.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to an impromptu PCPS Lite episode that we are throwing in here while we're working on an epic two-part episode about one of our favorite icons from the 1970s. We need to give Carolyn just a little extra time to get this one right. I don't know if you have noticed, but we do not mess around with quality. So, because we're often like paying tribute to people that were really important to us,
right.
People and projects and movies and music or whatever that were really meaningful to us when we were growing up. And so it's important to us to give things enough time and attention and make sure we're communicating it to you, the audience, in the proper spirit. And so we are here today with an off-the-cuff conversation that is unplanned, unresearched, and will be mostly unedited.
To do none of those things she just said.
To do none of those things. To not be careful at all. If we say anything
to
dumb.
To not pay tribute.
Yes. Please remember, we are human beings. We have issues, like just like everybody else. So if we say something dumb, don't Google it. I recently sent an article to Carolyn and Michelle that hit me really hard because I am a big moviegoer. And by moviegoer, I mean I go to the movies in the theater. Oftentimes I go by myself because it's not as easy to get somebody to go to the movies with me as it once was. Have you guys, this is one of my questions for you.
Okay.
Have you guys seen your movie-going habits change? How have they changed recently? Where have you guys landed? How do you mostly watch movies?
I'm ashamed to say I mostly watch movies on my own couch. And I would say that in the past, well, I'll just go since we moved to Denver. So I'll say 2.5 years ago, we moved to Denver. And I bet in those 2.5 years, we've gone to the movies 3 times.
Okay.
And I don't like that. I mean, together. Actually, you know what? I just went a few weeks ago to see the Pretty in Pink 40th, you know, celebration, 40th anniversary in the theater. And I got those tickets. I went with a few of my neighborhood girlfriends and I got the tickets like way ahead of time because I thought, oh, this is going to be packed. You guys, we were the only ones in that theater except for 2 other people.
What?
I know. And this was like the Pretty in Pink 40th.
This is what we'll be talking about.
Really, this was an emergency situation.
Yeah.
Well, again, it has to do with their advertising and their marketing. I mean, you know, think about the ways we knew about what was upcoming in a movie theater was lots of times by the coming attractions. And we'll talk about some of that stuff later, things that we're missing out of by not going to the theater. But I can... Michelle, you said 2.5 years and you've gone 3 times. I think I've gone with like probably the last time was with Kristen or something. I don't even know the last time I went to a movie with my actual
spouse.
When
we all saw Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And that was like 3 years ago.
That was April 2024.
Yeah, that is probably it. And that was a very fun experience too. You know, you do have to plan and all that, that kind of stuff. So it's a little extra effort to actually get to the theater, but it's like anything else. Once you're there, you're so grateful you made the effort.
So this is exactly what this article is about.
Yeah.
It is. So this was an opinion essay that was in the New York Times written by the CEO of Sony Pictures. His name is Tom Rothman, and it's called Why I Love the Movies and How to Save Them. Because we can't have movies, this is what we're finding in this era, is that you can't really have movies in a movie industry without movie theaters. They're trying, but they're finding that it's very difficult. So I'm just going to give you a quick overview of this article. So obviously, since the pandemic, the movie industry has been struggling to find its way and what they're how it even works. How do you make movies and where do you put them and who watches them and why? And the pandemic is only one of the stressors. The other, of course, is the new media landscape of streaming. So the result has been that movie theaters no longer play a big role in American life the way that they once did. And if we're not careful, he says, we will lose the movie theater industry entirely, which to me would be crushing. And to this guy, too, this is his whole point. But he does see a solution. And that involves something called the window. Okay, here's where we get nerdy, and here's what we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. The window is the period of time between when a movie is released in theaters, when it's available to rent or buy, and when it's available for free. And in the old days, that looks like in the theater, available at your video store, and then airing on TV. Today, that looks like in the theater, rent on a streaming service, for free on a streaming service. So do you guys remember, go back in time, do you remember what those windows were like when you were growing up?
Mm-hmm. Forever. Yeah. I mean, I've got forever. My arms just like,
yeah, you as waited far as forever go. For it to come on VHS.
Yeah, it would be a year, 2 years until it came out on VHS.
Mm-hmm. And it would be at the movie theater for a good chunk of time. I mean, I guess unless yes. it was, a real loser and they
you know what
took
I remember
out.
From my cinema class in college, if a movie had legs, that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like if a movie had legs, it meant that like it stayed there. And I remember they used the example of Pretty Woman. It tells you when I was in college, but it was like that movie had legs. That meant it kept making money. It kept making yeah. money, so they just kept it in the theaters. Well, that yeah. push that makes that window even longer, right?
Yeah,
right. That window's bigger because if it's in the theaters for 5-6 months, you know, it's not going to be available on VHS for a really
right.
long
Why
time.
Would they change course when they're making money? I mean, I remember going to the drive-in to see, I think it was Saturday Night Fever or something like that. And I'm going by where I lived, you know, because I lived in certain places during certain years. And if Saturday Night Fever came out when I lived in this place, that means if I saw it in this place, it was in the theater for like 1 or 2 years. I mean, that I realize that drive-ins are like second run, but that's legit. You could have something that was so huge that you could still be seeing it in the theater a year later.
And you would have those second-rate theater. Is that what you just called it?
Whatever, second run.
The second tier, yeah. whatever, mm-hmm. theater.
Yeah.
Because we had some. And in fact, I feel like there was one in Excelsior.
There was.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was one
that
on you
Excelsior.
Would go
on
and
Excelsior
you could say, Hopkins. Shoot, it's. Yeah. yeah, you'd be like, shoot, it's not in the theater anymore. Oh, I know where we can go see it. Because you knew you still had to wait. And so if I missed it in the theater, even as a kid, I knew where the other theaters were. It
you would just
got
wait.
Bumped down. You
and
know?
We would call it the cheap theater. We're waiting for it to get to the cheap theater.
I think we had a dollar theater. I think it was called the dollar theater.
Yes, in Hopkins. We did. It was the dollar theater.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
We did.
That's right. So pre-pandemic, so when we were kids, it was very, very long. And you might have to wait 2 years for it to come on TV. I remember I had a kid in my fourth grade class, and he had not seen Star Wars. And I was like, dude, what is wrong with you? How have you not seen Star Wars? And he said, my mom says I have to wait till it comes on TV. And I remember I'm 10 years old. And I was like, honey, this movie is not going to be on TV.
Get another mom.
Too big.
Yeah.
Get a new mom. It's not coming to TV. You'll be 19 years old when you see it on TV. So pre-pandemic, that window was generally 75 days before the pandemic. You had a movie in the theater for 75 days before it went to today's version of rent or buy, which was still streaming, right? We still had streaming in 2019. So that's 2.5 months, right? Yeah, 2.5 mm-hmm. months, something would be in the theater. Right now, according to this guy who wrote this article, the window is what is killing movie theaters because the window is 17 days. That's what the window is.
And I mean,
that means,
why?
Why even bother?
Why? Yeah.
Why even
why
have
get out of
movie
your pajamas?
Theaters? Yes. Yeah. Exactly. You can watch it for free in your own home if you wait 2.5 weeks. And that was something that we were kind of trained to do in the pandemic. We were trained to watch movies at home in the pandemic. Maybe you even want, I mean, with a 17-day window, you might even want to see it in the theater, but you can't get your act together in 2.5 weeks to go see it. There are only 2 weekends. That's two weekends. That makes no sense. So he says most people no longer have a habit of going to the movies like we did when we were kids. I mean, maybe your habit was going to see a movie once a summer, but still, that was part of your habit. Some people might go to see a particular movie, but only if it has generated enough cultural urgency. Like everyone is seeing it and you don't want to miss out. There are a bunch of other reasons, too, that people brought up in the comments of this article, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But more importantly, he is making a case to save the movie theater experience because it is important to our culture. So let's be honest, like no matter how comfy you are on your couch in your yoga pants, watching a movie at home is just not the same, right?
No. Mm-hmm. It's not at all. And I think that's one of the things that I took away from the article, but and it's not like, you know, a new idea. We've talked about it on here, I know, many times. But for me, yes, is it a movie I want to see? Like, why do I miss going to the movies and why did I love going to the movies? Mm-hmm. And I loved going to the movies. I mean, my friends and I would go almost every weekend.
Yeah.
But it's not just the movie. For me, it is, it's the whole process and experience of it. And it fires like every single one of my senses. So it's from pulling up and seeing the big, you know, whatever movie theater you're going to. It could be a small marquee if it's a cute little one, you know, in a small town. It could be the giant one with all the boards, you know, the white boards with the black letters on it that I don't
with
even
the times
think they have anymore.
Underneath it. Yes. It would even have the times of the showings.
It's as soon as you walk in getting hit in the face with the smell of movie popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the sound,
the posters,
too. The pop, 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 pop,
yep.
pop, pop,
yes.
pop,
pop. And mm-hmm. it's almost too much, but it's in the most delicious way. And for me, regardless of what movie I was seeing, I wanted to look at every, not just movie poster, but the stand-ups, you know, the mm-hmm. big cardboard cutouts mm-hmm. and it's the people in line that are also yes. waiting for their popcorn or their ticket. Or as you go and you hand your ticket to the, you know, to the guy as you go through, it's that, you know, down the hall and, you know, the second theater on the right. It's the whole process. And, you know, for me, like carpeted hallway that you walk down is very roller skating rink to me. Do you guys get
yes.
that?
Yes.
Do you remember when you would be like skating on carpet, like to go to the bathroom or something? I feel like that's the same carpet that's in the movie theaters. Because that's what it is to me too. So it's, mm-hmm. and then walking by the ones and you're like, oh, I wonder who's going in to see that movie. That looked bad. Or, oh, look, there's all the kids going in to see that one. Like you walk past all the other doors and you see what's showing in them. It's all of that. And
it feels like everybody's having a night out.
Yeah.
It totally does. And it's so communal. And it's like, I'm going to talk later about, I'm not even talking about the communal experience you have with the other people that watch the same movie as you. I'm just talking about the experience of everybody going to the theater. And so I wonder, mm-hmm. well, then why don't I go? Why have I only gone 3 times in 2.5 years? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the number one reason, we have 2 great movie theaters within less than 10 minutes of us. The number one reason is there's nothing I want to see. They're not making movies I want to see. And Kristen, what I love about you is you sometimes just take a chance on a movie.
I do.
You're like, I want to go to the movies. I actually, on the Oscars the other night, there was an ad for a movie with Michelle Pfeiffer and...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's on Netflix Kirk Douglas. Right now.
So they show the whole, you know, it was like a movie trailer, basically. Mm-hmm. And before that was over, I looked at Brian and I said, oh, we're going to the theaters to see this one. And then at the end, it's like coming to Paramount Plus or whatever, Netflix or whatever it is. Yeah. And I was like, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. So then they make one I want to see directly to streaming. And Brian goes, well, it's because all those streaming services are basically like they're studios now, basically making movies.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I just haven't had one I wanted to see.
Well, and
Wicked. I saw Wicked twice. like in the theater because I wanted to see that.
Well, and I think that he mentions it in the article, but, you know, so many of the now theater movies are these franchise, you know, Marvel Universe or these huge
sequels,
epic movies where we're really missing out. Like, I think about the Kramer versus Kramers of the world. They're not getting theater time. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it makes me really sad. Like, those movies that make you kind of sit and think and feel. I mean, what do you feel if you're going to see, I don't know, one of those Captain America or, you know,
it's
you're
all
just
plot
like,
driven. It's all plot driven. Yeah. It's not. And this is the vicious cycle. If people aren't going to the theater, then they have to make movies that only big crowds will go to. That has been something that has been proven to get people in the seats. Okay, we'll do the same thing we did before. We'll do Avengers. Do another Avengers. Do another Avengers. Do another Avengers.
He's the author. I forgot his name now of this article. He says that. He says that. Like, they have to have a built-in fan base.
That yes. And it's not
right?
us.
So,
and it's not us.
No, it's not so us. And it's not the types of movies that I want to see because they're not part four or something with, you know, like a Terminator type movie. Boy, that just dated me, didn't it?
Okay, Grandma.
Also, when I've been to the movies recently, the trailers I've seen, the previews I've seen, and I love previews. Like, I'm not the type who's like, oh, get there like 20 minutes later because the previews take forever. No.
I do not want to see.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, do you guys do the thing? Like, I know it gets mocked. There's like so many funny like memes about it, but where a preview's over and you look, if you're with someone at the movies, you look over and you're like, yeah, that's okay.
Oh, we do thumbs up, thumbs sideways,
or you're
thumbs
like,
down.
But the last movie I went to with previews, I was like, There's not one.
Oh my God. See,
because you know what it was? It was like five of the seven previews I watched were things like the Minecraft movie or Sonic the Hedgehog.
So what movie was that? Because don't they usually show you trailers for that are like
the
movies that you're watching?
Usually. And it might have been Wicked or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I could
see that. So there are lots of reasons to be in the theater, and you hit on a really important one, Carolyn, and that is feeling. Because sometimes the feelings that you are having during a movie watching experience are amplified when you're having the same feelings as all the people around you. It's a communal experience. It's a collective experience. That's kind of what we're about here at the Pop Culture Experience. Like, what is it called? The Pop Culture
Preservation
Society. There we go.
She just changed our name.
Who are we? When you share an experience with somebody else, your joy is amplified. And that's what it's like being in the movie theater. And they've actually done a study. This was not in the article. This is just something that I know. They have shown that the bigger the screen is that you watch something on, the bigger your feelings are. So if you're watching Kramer versus Kramer on a tiny screen, you'll be like, that's sad. But if you're watching it on a giant screen in the theater, you're like racked with sobs.
Yes, that's a great point.
Bummer. Yes. You shrug your shoulders and walk away.
Think about
it. Bummer for that little boy.
Not only the size of the screen and also just the sound. The sound is so different. And I mean, now people have whatever, their theater rooms and that kind of thing and have their surround sound, but there's nothing like that. Was it THX or whatever? Remember there before the movie started and it was a special sound and it would make that. Yeah. And we all experienced that. And also, Kristen, what I like about it is it's kind of a great equalizer, the movie theater, because it doesn't matter, you know, how rich you are. Like, you could be super, super wealthy, but you're still going to the movie theater along with the girl that's saving up her babysitting money to get to go. So when you're in there, we're all, regardless of, you know, socioeconomics and all of that, we're all having these shared human experiences, because that's what these movies are. I mean, the ones that have really tug at our heartstrings and make us want to go, at least make me want to go to the movies, are the ones that have these universal themes that it doesn't matter where you grew up or how much money you make. It's that, yes, we can relate to this grief or this joy or whatever it is. And I guess that's what I really like. And to just remember why we're here on this planet. And I won't
cry
again.
That's what art is for.
You know,
I mean, that is the definition of art. That is, and to do that together with other people, especially with people that you love, is really, really important. And when you do it with strangers, there's something about sharing a movie experience with strangers that makes you feel like you are one with the world. It's a sense, it's a bigger sense of belonging. It brings us together. It's unifying. I mean, think about doing, have you guys ever gone to the sing-along Sound of Music?
Yeah, so good.
Think about doing a sing-along Sound of Music at home. That's not fun.
Right.
You go to the sing-along Sound of Music because you are all one voice and we are all part of the human experience.
Yes, yes.
Right? That's the perfect example of why going to the theater is important.
I was going to say, do you guys think it has something to do with this? So, you know, we criticize teenagers today or even, you know, young adults of not of needing things to be super quick, right? And not having the attention span to sit and do something for, you know, X amount of time. Mm-hmm. So think about it. When you're at home, even I'm guilty of this and my husband's guilty of this. When we watch a movie, I'm usually needle pointing or he's doing something on his phone or he's, you know, he multitasks by playing, you know, a game on his phone while he's watching a movie. When we watched Sinners last week, I was kind of I really noticed that both of us were doing nothing. Like,
yeah,
and it was one reason because that movie so crazy that we were like, "What just happened?"
You know, it requires
your
full
attention.
I might
have been needle pointing and I put it down. Like, I can't do that. I can't multitask watching this. But I'm just wondering if one reason people are not going to the movies is because they have to just sit there in the dark and watch a movie for 2 hours when they think, if I just watched it at home, I could also be folding the laundry or I could be emptying the dishwasher or I could be needlepointing or I could be, you know, doing something. And
that was something
that
popped up,
right?
That popped up in the comments. And I think, you're right. It is sad because they're saying that as a positive. Like, when I'm at home, I can fold the laundry. How sad that you want to fold the laundry while you try to engage with a story. And this is an opportunity for you to not do the laundry, to not needlepoint, to not be playing a game on your phone, to not be scrolling Instagram, but to actually engage with a story fully with your full heart.
Fully.
And to actually think about it. And this is part of what is sort of you know, the disease of our time is that our attention is quite fractured. And in the article, he says people have been trained to watch movies a little bit at a time instead of in one sitting. And so, yeah, if you're 12 years old, you've probably never sat still for 90 minutes in your whole life, and you don't even know how to do that. We need to do that. We need to be able to do that, to engage with something for that amount of time. But now, just like music is being made a different way for streaming, movies have to be made a different way for people getting up and watching it the next day. I don't do that because I can't. I can't even eat and watch TV because I can't focus.
That's great.
I can't do it. And that's just part of my psychology, right? I have to make sure that nothing else is happening so I can fully engage. But this is part of the difficulty of getting people back in the seats. But he made a very important point. He asked a really important question. And he says, try to think, this is another of his arguments for we need to have cultural spaces and communal cultural events again. He says, try to think of a seminal movie moment from your childhood or your young adulthood, which means in the theater, something memorable that pops up for you. What was the movie? Who were you with? And conversely, try to think of a seminal movie moment that took place via streaming.
Yeah.
Nope. I mean, I think one of the most seminal movie moments that instantly comes to my mind, and I actually, if I sat here and thought for a long time, I could think of dozens, but I was either my friend, I'd have to look at the date that the movie Ghost was released, but what's that? I was either
91
sophomore or junior in college, maybe a junior in college.
I'm going to say 90-91.
Okay. So yeah. And this makes sense because the two people I went were my apartment roommates, my senior year of college. So 91 maybe. And anyway, whatever. I probably should know that because what a impactful movie. And the reason it's so impactful is because we were in the theater opening weekend. And at the end of the movie, I was sobbing so hard, like I mean, like I had never sobbed before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And out loud, because then
like you're
going to
turn inside
the credits
out.
Are over. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then I don't know, it's like the music dies down or whatever, and the movie's over. And I felt so stupid because I was like ugly crying, but I just will never forget. The lights start to come up. And I am embarrassed because I'm like, oh, like I was like I was going to like vomit, you guys. I was crying so hard. And it's one reason that I love and hate that movie. Like I'm always like, I can't watch it again and I have watched it many times, but I looked around and not only were my two roommates crying as hard as I was, but everybody in that theater was, if they weren't crying audibly, you saw them wiping their faces with their napkins or whatever. And instantly I was like, oh my God, I felt like I felt better. But at the same time, I almost kind of felt like I was like wrapped in a hug.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
like it's okay. Yes. Now, had I been sitting at home watching that on VHS with just my roommates, sure, it would have been like we would have probably all cried and hugged each other. But I just remember the feeling of we were sitting kind of close. I remember turning around and just seeing everybody like broken up.
Yeah.
That's a movie theater moment.
So powerful.
Yeah. It is.
And it's a universal human emotion that to see all these people also experiencing that is, I mean, I don't know what the word is. There's got to be some word for what it feels like inside when you see all of these other people.
Don't worry. We'll come up with it, listeners. Okay. We got it.
Yeah. Because I have a similar memory in that for me, it was Kramer versus Kramer. And I saw it with my best friend and her mom and my mom. And same thing, like our moms were crying. And I remember they had like a Chevy station wagon. It was like burnt orange. And I just remember looking out the window the whole ride home. And I was just crying the whole way home.
Oh, Carolyn.
And I think like that's the first movie I can think of that, you know, just wrecked me, I guess, that hard. And I was just really racked with sobs. And I couldn't talk. And I was just looking out that window. And I still remember that. And, you know, our moms were crying. We were crying. It was all the stuff.
And you can feel it, you know, just to your point, Michelle, like you can feel it when the whole theater is filled with grief. And to share grief with people, that's a really healthy thing to do. Mm-hmm. I have a lot. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what movies pop up and how many of them are sad. One of my crying moments was in the movie She's Having a Baby, Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth McGovern.
Yeah,
and you guys, you know what? Just pause.
Okay. Yeah.
Listeners, if you're all freaking out right now, too, the three of us love this movie. How have we not done it yet?
How have we not done this?
We're doing it. We're doing it season 19. I think because we don't do a lot of stuff from our late, like our, I mean,
that's
we do
young adult.
I guess we do. Yeah. We do a lot of stuff where we're in high school or whatever. But this was, okay, never mind.
So you know what moment I'm going to talk about. This is the All Is Lost moment. It's a gut-wrenching life or death moment involving a mother and a baby. I mean, give me a break.
Yes, like, really.
What are you doing to us, right? And Kevin Bacon is standing in a hospital hallway in the scrubs that they gave him to wear in the delivery room. And then he is briskly like removed from the delivery room because there's some scary shit going down with his wife and his baby that's not yet born. And he stands there alone crying and Kate Bush starts to sing. Oh my God, Kate Bush. And now I'm going to cry just thinking about that moment. And the audience is breaking down in grief. Holy shit, I am crying. The audience is like, you can hear people going, you can hear that, right? And the man, and so we're sharing that grief together. And Kevin Bacon he's like squeezing his little scrubs hat. He's like squeezing it in his hands and his chest is heaving.
I can picture it right now perfectly.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-mm. And there's a man in front of me who says out loud, "Wipe your nose, man." Wipe your nose. We just all started laughing. Like the whole theater started, like we needed it so badly. We were so going down the road where we couldn't bring ourselves back up again. And that moment it was already a memorable moment, but that wipe your nose, man. Because Kevin Bacon is just like covered with snot coming down the front of his face. And he provided us with the relief we needed.
You guys, and I know you different experiences, but will agree with me. If it weren't for movies in the movie theater, I don't know if I would be married to my husband right now because how important those early movies were. Our first date was at the drive-in, but here's how we were at his fraternity always had like this Friday tapped at two. They tapped two kegs at 2 o'clock. I mean, what a fraternity thing to do in the 1980s, right? And we had dated the year before, but it went really badly. So we don't count that. We do, but anyway, for the purpose of this conversation, we're not going to. And we were flirty again and everything. And, you know, it was kind of back to like, oh, Brian Newman's cute and, you know, and so funny and we're flirty. And of course, you know, you'd had some beers and it turns into, what are you doing tonight? And I had my friend with me and we were like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, a bunch of us are going to see Cocktail. This is again, dating
Tom Cruise.
Cocktail at the drive-in. You guys should come. Well, we did go to see Cocktail and everybody was like, you know, you open up the back. I think it was like, what kind of SUV would we have had? I don't even know. It was someone's car, but everybody's like, you know.
It would be a Bronco.
Sitting next to each other with their legs out. And so Brian and I end up sitting next to each other. And we were very flirty through the whole thing. I mean, that's a memory. Every time we see Cocktail, like that's a movie that holds a really special meaning for both of us because we always think about that first time. And we have so many other ones. I can remember The Accused. I mean, I remember then later, you know, years later, I don't know how many years later, a year, 2 years later, seeing When Harry Met Sally in the theater and both of us loving it. And I just remember sitting next to him and you know how When Harry Met Sally starts and all the couples, the old couples are sitting on the couches,
the old married
on
couples.
The couch. And I remember sitting there thinking, that's going to be us one day. But I couldn't say anything like that out loud because we weren't that serious yet. But I was like, I wonder if that's going to be us one day. And so these are all movie theater moments.
Right.
And
memories about that I have. Because I have that written here in my notes about going on a date to the movie theater and going to see a movie. And I think, and that even goes before us. I mean, our parents, that was just kind of a given. And I went on a couple of dates in high school, but I can remember each movie that I saw on a date. I saw Halloween with a guy I just didn't know how to say no to people, which was not a good thing. So I ended up going on to things I didn't really want to. Another one was, you probably don't even remember this movie, and I wouldn't probably remember it had I not gone on a date. Something Wicked This Way Comes.
I remember that. I don't remember the name. Ray Bradbury.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And I remember that whole movie. I would have probably never chosen it had it not been that someone asked me on a date. And I think he kind of chose it. And my very last movie date, I can tell you, would have been Breakfast Club with my now husband, Andy Cochran. But it was a real date. Like, we weren't really a couple yet. And he was like, do you want to go see this movie? And I, like, had to plan what I was going to wear. And we went out to eat before. It was literally, like, our first last date kind of a thing. And so, and I was also thinking about, remember, even it was portrayed in TV shows and stuff, like you'd go on a date to the movies with a guy and he'd yawn. And then he put his arm around you. Or you thought about just like you'd be making out the whole time. Like, who cares what the movie even is? It's dark and we're going to.
It's dark.
Yes. And so it was such a moment, not just because of whatever the movie was, but it was this experience of that's what you did on a date. Because you didn't really have to talk a lot. That was one good thing.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have to face each other.
Exactly.
You didn't have to be 21 or 19, depending on what the drinking age was.
So I think that that's something that our kids, who knows if they even go on dates anymore, which they really should.
I know, they just hang out. But, you know, but that is to your point. Like, if you, let's say it was Cocktail, would you invite somebody over to come watch Cocktail? Inviting somebody over to watch something on Netflix is not the same as inviting them out on a date to go to a movie theater.
No.
And those first movies are, they tell you a lot about the other person. Mm-hmm. So Mike's and my first date was The Little Mermaid. And I didn't know this guy. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't think he was my type at all. And it was his idea to go see this Disney movie. And this was before adults went to Disney movies. Now we all go to see Disney movies.
Oh,
not
yeah.
back then. Not in 1989. And he said that he knew a 4-year-old who really liked it and thought it was really good. So right away, that gave me really important information about him. And I remember being in the theater And the theater just felt so full of warmth. Like it was incredibly like humanity, that kind of warmth, because there was this freedom in throwing away convention and being adults and going to see a movie that was made for children. Right. And I was positively moved. I was so moved by this man, by this grown man who wasn't too cool for school, who didn't take himself so seriously that he wouldn't suggest going to see a children's movie. And then you have the music from the movie and all of that becomes part of the memory. And that's an epic first date. Ugh. And that's not, would you be like, want to come over to my room? And
right.
My
no, I mean, well, that would be like the pipe smoker. If you had a guy in college ask you to come over and see Little Mermaid.
And don't we all have these movies? Just because you said that, Little Mermaid, that was my older daughter's first movie in the theater. It must have been re-released because this would have been in like 96 probably, because she was born in 19. She was probably, she might have been two. So maybe, so obviously it was like re-released or something. But you know, I will never forget, we got her the little booster seat. She was probably two. Mm-hmm. And you know, you put it on the seat and she was transfixed. And I watched her the whole time and her lips were swollen from all the salt. And then I'll just never, she must have been too, because I'll never forget that night when Brian went in and put her to bed. She said, and you guys remember, listeners, if you've ever seen like a picture of my husband, he's bald now, but he had like Eric Estrada hair. He had like the best hair. He also had Prince Eric hair, because for just some reason that night when he went in and said goodnight to her, she went, and she, this is exactly how she said it. Goodnight, Prince Eric. Like she immediately thought dad was Prince Eric.
Oh,
but like we so have sweet. These memories. I mean, every Thanksgiving, you know how Disney would always release their new movie or a Pixar movie Thanksgiving weekend.
The day after
it
Thanksgiving
was something. Yeah. Our family did every year when our girls were little. We, whatever it was, we looked forward to it. So, like, we have these memories with our families, not just going all the way back to the 70s and 80s, but movies and movie theaters have played an enormous part in our family histories.
Well, and my modern, my family of origin and my modern family, my contemporary family, whatever, my current family.
Yeah.
We
family
have
you created.
The family I created. We have memories that actually go together in that, as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, we were a Herbie family. And my family went to see every Herbie movie that came out. We had a Herbie. Herbie was real. Herbie had like thoughts and feelings and a heart. And then when Liam is 2 years old, his very first movie is Herbie Fully Loaded with Lindsay Lohan. It's like the first Herbie movie in 30 years or something. And my whole family goes with Liam to see his first movie. Like my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister, and we're all there and we're all just like staring at him, like ready to initiate him into the family of Herbie.
Oh, my little heart.
Sweet. I know.
I love that. I love that.
And that it is, when you think about growing up, like we have all of these memories tied up with them, but when you were a kid, going to a movie was something that your parents bestowed upon you with great ceremony, right? Like it was a big event and they surprised you. And I remember the first time that happened where we all got in the car and it was going to be a surprise, and we were and then they told us we were going to see What's Up, Doc? The Ryan O'Neill, Barbara Streisand movie. And I was so young, I didn't even know what that was. But I was like, sounds good to me. Let's go. And then that repeated over and over again with Benji and the Pink Panther movies and the Bad News Bears. Guess where we're going? And it was always a huge dramatic event. And then, of course, E.T. I think I've told this E.T. story before, where we were stuck in Woonsocket, Rhode Island with Sig and Sig, who were like cousins of my grandma. They were married with Sigurd and Sigrid, and they were Sig and Sig. And they were so old. They were old as the hills, and we were dying. And finally, my mom's like, can we just like get out of here and go see a movie? And so Sig, old Sig, was like, it's really, the directions are really hard. You just follow me. I'll take you to the theater. You follow me. And Sig could not see. And I thought we were going to die on the way to the movie theater. Well, and my dad was like, we'll find our way home. You go back home. We will find our way. We made it to the movie theater. We didn't know anything about this little alien movie called E.T., but it was the only thing in the theater. And then again, as a family, all of us are absolutely enchanted in this movie theater, in this random place that we've never been, Rhode Island, Woonsocket, where the hell are we? And we will never forget it. That was my sister's first mm-hmm. movie. And she looked exactly like Drew Barrymore. Like they were Aww. Twins. They were the same Aww. Age. They were twins. And that was all part of the experience. And again, just to reiterate, I wouldn't, and what if my mom said, why don't we go inside and watch E.T.?
Yes, it wasn't just the movie. I mean, you know, it's like sometimes it was the movie, but lots of times it was all the stuff that surrounded that actual film. It was yes. the getting in the car. It was your trip following Aunt Sig, who was going to drive off yes. the road. It was your sister looking like Drew Barrymore. It's this little town. It's all the yeah. things that just happened to be around this movie and this collective experience that yeah. you guys had. And that's kind of some of the stuff I had in my notes. It was so much more than just the movie. It was all the stuff that surrounded it that you happen to remember.
Yeah.
Because unlike you, Kristen, my family didn't all go to the movies together. That was a huge, huge thing.
Yeah.
So because of that, the times my dad went are memories that are just ingrained in me. And mm-hmm. I know I have shared on here standing in line to see Star Wars with just my dad. And he was so giddy. I mean, that's what I have here. He was like a little kid before and so much after. I just remember how happy he was. He wanted to talk about it a lot. And I was still kind of young. But it was seeing your dad in this different light, I guess, especially for me, because it wasn't like he ever went to see the Disney movies with us. Yeah. He wasn't at Bedknobs and Broomsticks or the Herbie movie. That was just my mom taking us with our little lunch sack of popcorn that she'd pre-pop at home.
Hide in her purse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we got yeah. to take it in. I guess they didn't get mad at you. I don't know.
Oh, we had to hide it.
Maybe we did. Maybe my mom had hid it. I just remember like a big straw macrame kind of bag that she had that she probably would have fit it in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had to bring our own popcorn and she would say, that's all you're going to get for the whole thing. So like, you know, basically parse it out, like ration it as you're watching the movie.
Yeah, that was highway robbery.
Yeah.
That was highway robbery.
I would like suck yeah. on the, you know, suck on each kernel.
Oh,
and
God.
Speaking of that, that's another part of the movie experience was like the food that went with it. And Junior yeah. Mints, the only place I would ever eat Junior Mints was at the movie theater. So much so that if you offer me a Junior Mint now, it's like cheating or it's wrong. It's not right. It's like, yeah. I can't experience
that anywhere
else.
Do you remember a candy called Flicks? I have not. This is going to take some research. Somebody listening, research this for me. It was in a little tube, like a cardboard tube, wrapped in like a bright colored foil. And then when you opened the foil end, they were almost like chocolate kisses. And they had funny little men on the outside. And they were called Flicks. And the only place I ever got them was at the movie theater in Orland, California. Yeah. I didn't put that together until I was an adult. But I've never seen Flicks.
Oh, I see them. They're little chocolate wafers.
Oh, my God. Did you find them?
Yes. Candy Warehouse. No, they're out of stock.
Oh, I bet they don't even like them anymore.
Yeah. But there is a picture of it. They look like little flat chocolate kisses.
Yeah, they're little flat chocolate kisses. And so this is a memory of when I'm like 4 years old. Probably going to see Charlotte's Web.
Chocolate wafers and handy tube dispensers in assorted colors.
Wow. But just like you, Carolyn, there are things like even movie popcorn smells different than the popcorn you make at home.
Oh, and absolutely.
I mean, how many people really make popcorn at home anyway?
Right.
Just we do all the time. Different. But it doesn't smell like if you get movie theater butter, it doesn't
it's
smell
not the same.
Mm-hmm. Or the sound of the straw in the like plastic thing when you're trying to get to the bottom. Yeah. There's like, it doesn't sound like that anywhere else but a movie theater. Or like people, you know, whispering like hushed tones, but they're loud. Like it's not like a person's loud voice, but especially before the movie starts, where you technically could be talking in a regular voice, but it's this hushed, loud voice. It's hard for me to explain, but it's just a certain voice that I've only ever heard.
Somebody's
in a movie
trying to
theater.
Get something in quick before the movie starts.
Yes.
Like, do you need to go to the bathroom?
And I want to take just a minute to for us to all remember the ticket stub. Because I recently came across, in getting ready for this episode, a ticket stub in my scrapbook for the Amityville Horror, which was the first R-rated movie I ever saw.
Me too!
And so I had that, you know, written next to it, and my friend Debbie's dad took us to see it. And of course, as the rule follower I was never going to go, you know, to an R movie unless... I guess it was you had to be accompanied by a parent if you were under 17, which was crazy. But then I had this, all these little ticket stubs. I had ticket stubs from every high school play that my high school did, all in this kind of falling out of my scrapbook. Yeah. And I just thought, gosh, that's a thing that we, you know, they scan our barcode on our phone.
Oh, I did just print out, or I saved all of my friends and my ticket stubs for Pretty in Pink, because they did come out. I don't know why they
well, probably
they
printed it something. Winter.
And I put them in my little junk journal. Yeah, with all these little cute Pretty in Pink stickers, because it was fun. It says Pretty in Pink 40th anniversary on it. And so they must have, because I had it on my phone. You're right. And when they scanned it, they came out.
Those little rectangles, and you'd have to go up to the lady the little curvy thing.
And they'd tear it in half. Yeah. And they'd drop one half. They'd give you one half, and then they'd drop the other half in the little box that had a little slit in the top.
Exactly.
And think of those. You didn't know, like when you were going, actually, that might not have been my first R-rated movie. I think that was The Jerk. Anyway, talk about movie
it's
memory.
Rosemary's Baby.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. That was probably rated R, and I was 3 months old. But that having those tangible movie tickets, you didn't know when you were watching that movie and saving that ticket that that would be a famous movie someday. Or a famous memory, a very memorable thing for you. You're just like going to see the current movie of the day. You have no idea. And now look at, that's such a gift that you have. And you're right. What will our children have to remember what?
Yeah. Well, on that note, I do have a bit of glass half full optimism running through my head, because Grace, my youngest, who is a senior in college, she is going to the movie theater. She's probably seen more movies while she's in college than I ever saw.
Wow.
Partly because she wants to be the first one to do everything. So she's in on that window of 17 days or whatever. But she is really kind of embracing the whole kind of analog experience of going to the movies, of getting vinyl, of getting, you know, I think she asked for CDs for Christmas. You know, I think that they might save us this.
I hope so.
I think so. Let's see how long this window is, this digital window, because our kids are figuring out that they are missing out on something that we had.
Yeah.
Whether or not they will get paper tickets again, I don't know. But I do know that that Liam is collecting CDs and DVDs, and he longs for an analog life. He says so outwardly. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people do. And I think I sent this to you guys, but it keeps coming up in my social media that Memorex has now put out a cassette player to play cassettes. So it's almost like a Sony Walkman, but it's just cassettes. There's no radio or whatever. And it does have a Bluetooth capacity, but it also has the little place to stick in headphones. And it's not actually, like, you can pre-order them and they're already sold out.
Oh my God.
People are showing in some of the responses, like, their pile of mixtapes or all their cassettes that they've kept, and they can't wait to get their Memorex little tape player because they want to have that whole, as we talk about a lot of times, that whole analog experience of taking the cassette out of your plastic, you know, acrylic holder or whatever, sticking it in the little player, closing
the
top.
And it's a grounding experience. And I think anything that is collective and communal is also grounding. And so that's also what you are missing out on when you watch a movie alone by yourself on your phone.
So, on your phone,
I could never watch it on my phone,
But they 100% do.
On the airplane last week, and the man sitting next to me, his head was so he had his phone on his tray. And his head was like bent over and he was probably about 5 inches away from his phone. And I'm just sitting next to him, needle pointing, you know, listening to my book on tape. And I was thinking, how is he seeing that? How is he getting? And it was probably some really big movie.
Yeah.
And he was watching it on his phone.
And he's not having any feelings.
And about the people, like the woman who just won, and the first woman to win, the Oscar for cinematography.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Uh-huh.
And you know, that's whole art. And a cinematography for a giant screen in a theater is, I would think, would be much different than cinematography for a laptop screen or even a 65-inch, you know, frame TV hanging over your fireplace. It's just, people need to realize it's just much more than the storyline? It's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's more than the plot. It's more than the explosions.
Yes.
And it was interesting reading. Did you guys go through the comments at all? The comments were really, were really interesting too, because they gave a lot of other reasons that people aren't coming. One of them is that it's too expensive. And that's true. That is absolutely, you know, to get a babysitter and go out for a night on the town would be $100. To bring your whole family, let's say you have three children, that could be $100. Like, so it's not $5 a ticket anymore. Right. The other thing that people said is that theaters are gross. And it to have a nice theater is pivotal. It is absolutely pivotal. We are so lucky in Minneapolis to live in a wonderland of movie theaters, whether they be new with stadium seating and state-of-the-art, whatever, or revival houses that are restored theaters that are super popular because they're old and they have chandeliers and they might be a little bit worn and tired, but the people who own them are really excited about showing not just new things, but also old things, revival things. So that is key. If you're going to go to a movie theater and your feet stick to the floor, I might want to stay at home too.
No. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-mm. But the other one that really got me, and this is sad and it speaks to the culture, is that people are rude and they no longer know how to be in a movie theater. They think they're in their living room and they're on their phones and they're talking to each other and they're jumping up and down. And it was what we talked about before. They don't know how, like, we're going, this is like a concert, people. Like, mm-hmm. we sit and we don't, and we worry about other people's experience. So it's going to take something to resurrect that and to re-educate younger people. I mean, it's on us, I guess, parents of the world, grandparents of the world, to show children how to watch a movie in a movie theater versus how to watch it at home. It's mm-hmm. two different things. But I do think that he makes a really good case for how we can revive it and why that's important. So, and you guys, you have, listeners, you have to know that this is just scratching the surface of the movie memories that we have come up with. Think back to just the movies that you saw with your family of origin. Think about that and how excited you were, the anticipation of it, the event of it. And we have stripped all of the event and excitement out of watching a movie by just streaming it for free in the middle of the day, on your phone, whatever. So if you want to add some excitement and some joy back into your life, recapture the movie theater experience. I want to close today by reading you a quote from the article that really moved me. And I think it has a special significance to every member of the Pop Culture Preservation Society. I think this really speaks to us as a group of people. He says, "I suspect that most people reading this can name an indelible memory they have of seeing a film with strangers in the dark on the silver screen that moved them and that they cherish still. The power of that enduring emotional connection should prevail against all the winds of change."
Yes, I think that's what's missing in our society and culture now, are those moments that we share together and we experience being human together.
We need to have more opportunities to be human together. Thank you so much for listening today, everybody. And we will see you next time. In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast. Courtesy of the, of who? Of Three's Company.
The movies.
Courtesy of the movies.
How about the movies? I don't know.
On the small screen. I don't know. Two good times.
Two happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers, cheers, cheers,
cheers, cheers.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you.
Before we dive into today's trip down memory lane, a quick shout out to the fine folks at Remind Magazine, who help keep the nostalgia train rolling. This season, the Pop Culture Preservation Society is proudly sponsored by Remind, the publication that understands your collection of Tiger Beat magazines, TV guide issues, and random lunchboxes is not clutter, it's history. We love when Remind lands in our mailboxes and we can enjoy that analog experience of flipping through its pages and reading all about the classic TV shows and movies and music and all of those pop culture treasures that made us who we are. And as an exclusive offer to PCPS listeners, you can get a full year of Remind magazine for just $12. That's 86% off the cover price. Just go to remindmagazine.com/pop. That's remindmagazine.com/POP. And you can take advantage of this incredible offer. Trust us, you will be so glad you did.